Okay, well, we're going to begin. Well, good evening, everyone. Pastor is not with us this evening because he is preparing for a procedure tomorrow. He's going to go for a scope. So tonight he has to prepare. So it's my joy to be able to take Bible study this evening. And, well, let's pray for him. And let's especially pray for Alex's mom. And I would like to especially keep her in prayer as she continues to make progress bit by bit. Okay, well, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, this evening, we like to remember our pastor as he goes for his procedures tomorrow. We pray, dear Father, that you be with him. And we pray that you will oversee all things. We especially like to pray for Alex's mother. We pray, dear Lord, that you continue, Lord, to grant her your grace and strength to improve bit by bit. We ask, dear Father, we thank you for watching over her. We pray, dear Lord, that you will also be with her family as they continue to look after her. And this evening, as we study your word, we pray that you will bless this time. May we have a good time, Lord, of just thinking through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, tonight we continue with our study from the book of Deuteronomy. We've been studying this from chapter 1 all the way to chapter 21. Just to give a very broad sweep of the whole book, at least up to 22, when we read chapter 1 to 3, we see God's love being expressed in the way he looked after Israel. From Egypt all the way to Israel, the land of Canaan. And then when we read from chapter 4 all the way to 11, we see the commandments from God with reference to loving God, fearing him, and to keep his commandments. Okay, and then from chapter 12 onwards, we have all the religious laws and civil laws with regards to many different things. For example, how to look after slaves, how to have festivals, with reference to unsolved murders, and so on. Okay, there's a whole long list of different laws that Israel is meant to keep. Okay, now when we come to chapter 22, we see the whole idea of what it means to care for a brother. Okay, and tonight we're going to talk about animals. Okay, so all those animal rights activists. Yeah, you can take a look at these passages. They're quite interesting. But we are going to take a bit of time to look at this whole idea of what does it mean to love a fellow brother. Okay? Now, God cares about our caring. Okay? God cares about whether we care for our neighbor's animals, our neighbor's things. God cares about how we care for animals. And so this series of commandments reflect that. And so it's our duty to care for a brother. Okay? Why duty? Because it is a commandment. It is God placed this as a command that we are meant to care for our brother or for our neighbor. Okay? It seems like it should be a natural thing to do, isn't it? Okay, you see your neighbor's dog wandering about and it seemed to be lost, or here's a cat and the cat is lost. What do you do? Some of you don't like cats. So you scream, you run away, you avoid totally. Okay, actually that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, do not hide yourself. Okay, you're meant to go and look after the cat, to look after the dog, to look after your neighbor pet iguana or whatever pet they may have. Okay, and so it should be a natural thing to do, isn't it? But it's not. Okay, that's why God has to make this into a commandment. Because sometimes people choose not to care. People choose to ignore. People choose to act blur. Okay, when maybe they see an animal in distress. Or your neighbor's things, you know, you got lost along the way, or maybe you don't like this neighbor as much, and you purposely hide it. I think the challenge for us is to consider what God is trying to say here. And God cares about whether we care or not, whether we show compassion, whether we show love, whether we show love even to animals. Okay? The Word of God commands us to actually care. So what do we do whenever there's an animal that belongs to a brother and then it's straying? What should be done? Well, the law stipulates that we are, the people of Israel were meant to care for each other, okay, and for their animals. In chapter 22, you shall not see your brother's ox or his sheep going astray and hide yourself from them. You shall certainly bring them back to your brother. Okay? And so sometimes the ox, as he, you know, it likes to graze, and sometimes it wanders away. Or here's a donkey, or here's a sheep, and they wander away. You know, sheep, they all love to wander. And they get lost. Or along the way, okay, you cannot imagine our house just next to each other, the sheep, or the, you know, this is, you know, farmland, there's, you know, huge prairies. And then along the way, the ox got lost, comes to your territory, and here is a lost ox. What do you do with it? Okay, and you know, it's not easy. It's not easy to chase after the ox, chase after the sheep, chase after the donkey. The donkey can be very stubborn. And sometimes it's not an easy thing to do. Sometimes you need to go the extra mile. Perhaps the neighbor, your neighbor is gone away, far away. And he's going to take maybe a few weeks to return. And you have to look after the ox. Are you willing to go the extra mile? Are you willing to look after it? Or you do not know which this animal belongs to who? What do you do with it? Ox, kill it, eat. Have beef party that, beef burger that evening. What do you do? Well, you're meant to look after it. And the challenge is to go the extra mile. You know, even if it is the callousness of the neighbor, and sometimes that happens, the neighbor can be callous. So what do? Well, you love. You care. You show compassion. You reach out to this person. I used to have a dog. His name is Ben. Okay, nothing against our intern pastors. His name is Benson, named after a show that I really loved last time. And he brought so much joy to me, so we named him Benson. And it's a mix between a Pekingese and a Pomeranian. Short fella, small, big ears, very fluffy. When he runs to you, his ears will swing from one side to the other side, and it's a very comical sight when you come home from school. And he, you know, He brought so much joy to me. But this fellow loves to wander. And he loves to run out. He loves to go underneath our fence, those wire fence last time I used to have. And he would dig a way through to the neighbor. And our neighbor used to be Diona, Gerald. They were our neighbors. For the many years I was there, they've always been our neighbors. And this dog, wandering dog, will always go underneath the fence and go to them. And, you know, every time he does that, Gerald or Diona will carry the fellow and bring him back to our house. And they never complain. Once. Okay? Never complain once. No matter how many times the fellow will do it, you know, finally we change the fence. But, you know, Diona and Gerald never once complain. And I really appreciate that. And one day, this fellow decided to wander out while the door was open, and he never came back. And I was so sad. Okay? One neighbor never practiced. The fellow did not practice this law. You see, that's why he has to make into a law, a commandment. When you see your neighbor's dog wandering, cow or oxen, you're supposed to look after it. Bring it back. Okay? Even if it takes some time. You see, so the idea of going the extra mile is important. You know, Lee Hong was telling me this very interesting story about the neighbor. One day, Ping Hui, I think, parked the car. Then they forgot to close the gate. And then they went to sleep. Then the neighbor came back, saw the gate open. And it was very late. And so the neighbor had a dog. He decided to not wake Lee Hong and Ping Hui up. Instead, he took his dog, tied the dog at the gate, at their gate, and let the dog guard the gate for them. Wow. And poor dog had to stay. Ping Hui told me, poor dog. Next morning he got out, he saw the dog in front of him. Poor dog had to stay in the cold, look after the house the whole night through. I was so. And the neighbor is very, very, they're very, very good neighbors. They look after each other. And apparently they have gone back to New Zealand. And they brought the dog as well. I think the dog is 10 years old already, but they brought the dog back all the way to New Zealand. And I thought that was really special. And the way we look out for our neighbor, the way we look out for animals, reflects the kind of faith and heart that we have. See, some of these laws sometimes takes time to cultivate. That's why it's only stated later part in Deuteronomy 22. Okay, it's not stated right up front. The right up front, chapter 12, it's about worship, it's about observing the festivals, it's about, a lot of different things initially, how to look after the slave. But now, you know, we come to a point where, do you know how to look after even animals? Do you even know how to care for them? See, some people don't even bother about animals. There was once this stray dog came to our house. We knew most probably this dog was belonged to one of the neighbors, but we didn't know who. So the fellow came into our house. And first thing I did was, you know, we give it water, and then he stayed with us. We looked after it, provided food, and he stayed with us for a few days. And finally, someone came to our door and knocked. And it was a neighbor. Apparently, the neighbor had gone away for a while, and then the dog got loose somehow. And I was beginning to love the dog. And then we had to give back the dog. Okay. And I think one of the things that we want to think about this evening is, how do we care for animals? The animals of our neighbors, or the things that belong to our neighbors. And that's something for us to consider. Okay, not easy to look after an ox, not easy to look after an oxen. Okay, so we do not hide ourselves. We are meant to care. We are meant to look out for them. You know, today in the newspaper, there was this, or rather the past few days, there's this so-called dog club, premium dog club, that apparently along the way, there was this dog, this Shetland dog, 7-year-old Shetland dog, was placed at this club, this place in the house, and it went missing. And people were so upset. Okay, finally, they staged a protest outside the house, and the police got involved. And finally, the owner of this so-called premium dog club, not so premium, dog club, got arrested. Okay, our minister also had to come in and talk about it. Can you imagine? Our minister had to talk about, you know, this dog club, and there were a lot of concerns about this. Okay, and I appreciate that. Even a dog is missing. People are concerned. Okay. And I think that's important for us to think about. not easy to look after animals. What happens if your neighbor has a python? Or a crocodile? In Singapore, do people have python? Yes. I know of someone whose brother has a python in a HDB flat. And this person... Okay, the person is from church. And this girl, okay, it's a girl. When the brother goes overseas, she has to go and feed the python with mice and so on and so forth. Poor lady. Okay, I won't say who. But the brother has a python in his HDB flat. Okay, well, better not say too loud about it. I know of my dad's friend. He's a vet. He has a house somewhere in Sembawang. And he has all kinds of exotic birds, fishes. He has his house is on so-called stilts. Below is a huge pond. And he has a dozen of these fishes. It's black in color, but it's so huge. I don't know what kind of fish it is, but it is huge. And he has all kinds of animals. Amazing. Okay? It's almost like a little zoo within his house. And he has about, you know, 12 dogs and so on. Amazing. You know, would you go the extra mile to care? To show care? Even if it's not easy, even if you don't like it, would you still go the extra mile? And that's a challenge, to care. Okay? What would motivate you to care? There was a priest walking one day, and he saw this junkie along, this drug addict, sitting along the street. And so instead of reaching out to the person, he just quickly walked past. And then the drug addict got up and chased after the priest and wanted to stop the priest. And the priest kept walking faster. And finally, he caught up to the priest. And the priest was a bit annoyed. And he asked the priest, "Father, what causes arthritis?" And the priest was very angry. "Why you ask me this kind of question?" He shouted, "Alcohol causes arthritis. Drugs causes arthritis. Nightlife causes arthritis. Then finally, the priest asked, why do you want to know this? And then the drug addict said, you know, I was just wondering, because I was reading a newspaper today, and it says that a pope suffers from arthritis. Do we really know how to show care? What motivates us to show care? Okay, another one. There was a man who was talking to a priest. He said, Father, my cat has died, and I love him very much. Since he's the only family I have, you know, I want to honor him with a service. Then the priest yelled at, what? We don't dedicate services to animals. Go ask the rabbi. Maybe they do it. Thank you, Father. One thing more. I don't know, you know, much about these things. I don't have any experience. I was just wondering, how much do I have to pay them? Would $5,000 be enough? Then the priest said, wait a minute. I didn't know it was a Christian cat. What would motivate us to care? You know, faith. Faith that is cultivated. Faith that is a bit more mature. Faith that knows how to love and go the extra mile. That's something that we can consider. Okay, to find, to care, to return, to help. Now, okay, any questions you want to ask about looking after your neighbor's animal? If not, we go on to the next part. And the next part is about dressing. Okay, they had a, you know, dressing code in during the times of Moses. Okay, and behind this, you see, God doesn't just care about the way we care, or whether we care or not. God also cares about the way people do things. What is in the heart? And one of the things that God hates is perversity. Okay? And there were strict laws about cross-dressing. Okay, let's take a look at this law. And in this law, we read, you shall not see your brother's... a woman shall not wear anything that pertains to a man, nor shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all who do so are an abomination to the Lord your God. Okay, this one I got to explain carefully. Because today women do wear pants. And they do wear shirt. Okay? So how do we see this issue about cross-dressing? You know, there are men who wear skirts, so-called skirt, kilts. The Scottish men, when they all, during war, what did they wear? They wear kilts. When they fought in wars, can you imagine? Running in those things. Okay, years ago, I saw this show called Braveheart. And I tell you, these men were the most courageous men ever. But the problem is they were wearing skirt. But, you know, that's the Scottish warriors and so on. So how do we see this issue? The issue is really what's in the heart. And the problem is homosexuality. Okay, the problem is this LGBT thing, where it becomes the issue of the heart, where the heart ends up with perversity. That's the problem. When the heart is perverse, when the heart ends up with doing that which is wrong, which is against God's law. So the issue is perversity. It is with reference to the heart. So a woman today, fashion, you know, you can wear, there are women who wear suits. There are women who wear pants and shirts. No problem with that. Because that's fashion today. Okay? The issue behind this, the abomination, is the perversity of the heart. okay, where people end up with this Sodom and Gomorrah type of problem. So it's not just a matter of the clothing, it's the way people go about doing things. What is in the heart? In India, there are a lot of these transgender people. Okay, they wear the sari. But you know, in India, some parts of India, these people are revered. Okay, because they are looked upon as the incarnation of a Hindu god. Okay, let me try to pronounce the name of this Hindu god. Athanasisvara. Is it? Where's Simon? How do you pronounce it? Wrong, huh? Okay, how do you pronounce it? Okay, well done, right? Sorry, I just couldn't do it. Yeah. Okay, that god that they just mentioned by Simon. Okay, it's the incarnation. So these transgender people, they are revered. And so today I was just reading in the internet, there is this procession in this particular place in India, and the whole procession is a very, very huge procession, and all the people on the procession are these transgender people, all men dressed in sari. Okay, and as they pass by, they bring their children and they bless them. They give them money and they give a blessing. Okay? But to them, this is, you know, this is what they feel they should be. And, you know, God calls it perversity. Can you see this? And this is the problem. Maybe we can turn to Leviticus 18. Leviticus 18. In verse 22, you shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. Nor shall you meet, okay, of course, this is abomination. Nor shall any woman stand before an animal to meet with it. This perversion, right? This is an abomination. Can you see that? It's very, very clear. There's no two way about it. This is an abomination. Okay, it's repeated again and again. 20 verse 13. If a man, read that. Okay, of course this is perversity in itself, right? Okay. Turn with me to Romans 1 now. And Romans 1 is very clear about this. Romans 1, in verse 24. Okay, therefore God also gave them up to their uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Okay, verse 26, for this reason God gave them up to their vile passions. It's called vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use of what is against nature, likewise also the man, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Man with man committing what is shameful, receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. Okay, so it's very, very clear. this is perverse, this is vile, this is an abomination with reference to God. It's very clear. The Word of God is very, very clear about this. And so the issue of perversity is a big problem. And that's something for that the Lord wanted to deal with. And God hates perversity. Okay? Okay, any questions anyone want to ask about this one? No? Very clear? Okay, let's move on to the next part. Now, the next part is about animals. Okay? Let's go back to Deuteronomy 22. Deuteronomy 22, we read, okay, if a bird's nest happened to be before you along the way, now this is, the context is hunting, okay, this person is going out hunting, and if a bird's nest happens to be before you along the way in any tree or on the ground with your ones, with young ones or eggs, with the mother sitting on the young and on the eggs, you shall not take the mother with the young. Okay, you shall surely let the mother go. Take the young for yourself. Okay, so don't kill the mother. Don't take the mother. Don't take the eggs. Although today we can. You shall not take, you shall surely let the mother go. Take the young for yourself. It may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days. Wow. You want to have long life? Spare the mother. Okay? Spare the mother bird. So, what's the point behind this? The point is to be gracious. To be kind. Even to animals. See, again, God's laws are very, very special. God wants us to care even for animals, to look after them, to be there for them. Proverbs 12, verse 10, a righteous man regards the life of his animal. The kind of person you are in the way you treat animals reflects who God is. Okay? And that's special. You know, it's always very nice to see videos of people, you know, rescuing animals. And there was once I saw this about how there was this dog that was, I think, fell into a well. And it was swimming in a well. And here was a person who risked his own life, went down, picked up the dog, and brought it up. I thought that was special. Another video, there was this deer that was in the river, and the sides were very steep. And there was this man who was trying to reach out to save the deer. And so he couldn't do it on his own. Along the way, there were others, and they all formed a human chain all the way down to the deer. And they caught the deer and brought it up. And I thought that was special. Okay? Would you do that? You see a dog in a drain in Bukit Timah, you know, those huge drain. Would you go down and save the dog? I would go down. The problem is I don't have the opportunity. And I don't stay in Bukit Timah. But if I do have an opportunity to save an animal, I would. When I was young, I tell you, I love insects. And I would always try to care for insects. When I walk, you know, in the garden next to the drain, when I saw an ant, I would stop. Let the ant pass by, and then I will walk and observe the ant. I love observing ants. I really, really do. You ask Pastor Mark. Half the time we all sitting outside, partly because kena scolding from my dad. My dad said, "Go outside and sit." So after time, we were outside looking at the ants next to the garden. And you know, I really enjoy looking at how the ants carry things. And you know, there comes this, you know, kind of love for insects. I love insects. I really do. I used to have a pet spider. And I look after the pet spider. Okay? One day it died. And I was very sad. I even held a funeral for it, put it in a matchbox, and then buried it. Pastor Monk and I, we used to climb this rambutan tree in my house. Huge rambutan tree right at the back of our house. And the rambutan is very sweet, beautiful. But interestingly, there are what you call red ants on the tree. Because it's sweet, there are a lot of these red ants. And Pastor Monk and I will always climb the tree. And my mom said one thing one day, many years later. She said, you know, you always love climbing the tree, but the red ants never bite you. Never once. Can you imagine red ants on the tree? And the red ants never bit us. Maybe the red ants recognize we are owners of the house, and I don't know. But they never bit us. And from young, I always have a love for insects. And I also have a love for animals. And I think when we see things like this, you know, there should come forth kindness from the heart. And that's something that the Lord wants us to have. Okay? Now, what is God trying to do? Why do all these things? Why make all these things into commandments? Because this is the heart of God. This is what God is like. God cares for people. God cares for animals. God cares in a very, very special way. And when we follow his commandments, we are actually reflecting his image. We are reflecting what he is like as God. Can you see this? When we keep his commandments, there's a commandment in Deuteronomy 13, verse 21. It says, we are not meant to boil a young goat in its mother's milk. Sure, we can still eat the goat, but you know what? We shouldn't show cruelty. Can you see this? See, that's the heart of God. That he would care even for animals. And when we keep his commandments, or rather when the people of Israel, when they keep the commandments of God, they are actually reflecting his image. In 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, it talks about how we are, you know, the whole idea of, you know, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, and how that veil has been taken away. And, you know, we are seeing as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. The mirror here is a representation of the Word of God. Beholding as a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of God. See, every time when we look at the Word of God and when we seek to obey it, when we seek to follow it, we reflect the glory of the Lord, his image. And we are being transformed bit by bit from glory to glory. Okay? And that's our challenge. Okay, any questions, anybody you want? Now, the next part is about details. And God is a God of details too. Okay? And in Deuteronomy 22, verse 8, we read of how there is this parapet. Okay, a parapet is basically a fence a small little fence on the rooftop. So when people go up to the roof, when there's a small parapet, okay, that means you have to take the trouble to build this parapet. Okay, most people don't have fences. They don't have parapets. They just build. But here is a provision for a parapet so that there is safety. Again, you see, here is God caring. God caring for people, for your guests. When they come, you see, in India, all the houses, they have rooftops, right? And people will go up to the roof, and like the church we went, whether it's JM, whether it's Satyam, at a rooftop, there's always a parapet. They always have a fence. Okay? And that's for safety's sake. And so here, God is one who wants us to care, even for people when they're on our roofs. And that's special, okay, to prevent any form of injury. Okay? Okay, any questions? Anybody wants to ask? Okay, the next part is about sowing seeds. Okay, let's read this. When you build a house, okay, you shall not sow your vineyard with different kinds of seed, lest the yield of your seed which you have sown and the fruit of your vineyard is defiled. Okay, you shall not plow with an ox and a donkey together. You shall not wear a garment of different sorts, such as wool and linen mixed together. Okay, and so these are provisions. These are commandments again, not provision, but commandments. And they are meant to be followed. Don't mix. Okay, don't mix linen with wool. Don't mix different seeds. Okay, don't put an ox and a donkey together. Okay, why? Why don't put a donkey and an ox together? Obviously, they're different. Okay, ox is much stronger. A donkey is not as strong. Okay, a donkey moves very slowly. It's not as strong as an ox. An ox can plow. Okay, so it's two different animals, two different types of animals. One is meant to carry things. The other one is meant to pull things. It's meant to do really hard things. Donkey may not be able to pull the plow. Okay? Now, this is the verse that is where Paul used with reference to be unequally yoked. Can you see this? Okay, so let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Now, the context of 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14 is with reference to false teachers. Okay? False teachers have been making all kinds of accusations, trying to speak against Paul's apostleship. And so here is the context. O Corinthians, verse 11, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now in return for the same, I speak as to children, you also be open. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now that's the... So Deuteronomy 22 is where you get a concept from. Okay, the donkey is not meant to be together with the ox, right? And so here, two different types of people, of animals, right? Here is two different types of things. Don't be unequally yoked. Okay, in the Greek, is the word is heterozugeo. Okay, heteros idea is something that is totally different.
Okay, you cannot mix together something that is totally different. Sometimes the word alos means the same. Something, another one, but it's the same kind. But the word heteros means a totally different thing. Okay? And so here Paul is arguing, we cannot be yoked together with unbelievers. We cannot worship together with unbelievers. Okay, we cannot have a covenant together with unbelievers. Okay, that's what he's trying to say here. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? Right? You are the temple of the living God. Okay? And so here, the context, of course, is with reference to the church listening to false teachers, and they were considered as unbelievers. And they were not to be equally yoked with these unbelievers. Okay, in Deuteronomy 7, verse 1 to 5, it talks about how the people of Israel, when they go into Canaan, they are not meant to marry the local people. The Canaanites, the Jebusites, all the different sites, websites, termites, whatever. They're not meant to marry the local people. They're meant to chase all of them out. And what's the point? The point is not about being racist, but the point is about these people worshipping idols, and when we have communion with them, they will turn our hearts away to worshipping idols. That's the problem. Okay, well, let's turn to Deuteronomy 7. And in Deuteronomy 7, we read, okay, has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites, and all the other seven nations greater and mightier than you. And when the Lord your God delivers them over to you, you shall conquer them and utterly destroy them. Wow. Totally destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them, nor shall you make marriages with them. You shall not give your daughter to their son, nor take their daughter for your son, for they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods, so the anger of the Lord will be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. Thus you shall deal with them. You shall destroy their altars and break down their sacred pillars, cut down their wooden images, burn their carved images with fire. For you are a holy people to the Lord. Okay? The point is, at the end of the day, is holiness. God wants us to be a holy people, a people that is set apart for Him. Okay? And that's why in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul tells the Corinthians, come out of them. Be set apart. That's the point. We are meant to be holy. 2 Corinthians 7 talks about the idea of holiness, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. So the point at the end of the day is holiness. God wants us to be holy. Okay? We are meant to be holy because He is holy. I am the Lord, says the Lord. Okay? And so that's our challenge. That was something that they were meant to do. Okay? Okay, any questions you wanna raise up? If not, let's go on to the last part. Deuteronomy 22. And we come to the last part where it talks about verse 12. You shall make tassels on the four corners of the clothing with which you cover yourself. Now, why? Why make tassels?
What are these tassels? Tassels are like little ropes. Okay? So four corners, put a little rope there. It looks like a rope. So what are those things for? What's a tassel for? Okay, a tassel is meant for the people to remember God. Okay? So these are what we call reminders. They are meant to be reminders that they will remember God, turn to God. They are meant to help them, help the people to honor God. Okay, so they are to be worn. These are what we call finishing touches to the dress, to the robe. And they are meant to help the people of Israel, okay, to remember God. And we all need reminders. For some people, we wear a cross to remind us. Or sometimes we have something that, you know, post-it or something on the, you know, a verse here, a verse there, next on the fridge, every time you open the fridge, you know, discipline yourself. take heed. right? Whatever that will remind you of God. And sometimes we all need reminders. Okay, my reminder is notebook. I have this notebook, several notebooks, 4 or 5 of them, and there are many, many verses in it. And every day I take these notebooks with me and I memorize the Word of God. And they are my reminders every morning. When I'm on the bus, when I'm walking, they remind me of God. They remind me to pray. They remind me how I should live. They remind me how I should revere God. They remind me about my responsibilities and what I should live, what kind of faith I should have. And we all need reminders because we all tend to forget. And God knows that we forget very easily. And so we all need reminders along the way. Whatever way you want to remind yourself, that's up to you. I have a big poster in your room. You know, when you drive or have an alarm, have something like a Siri or whatever. Siri, how do you pronounce? Siri, is it? Siri. Remind you of a verse. I don't use iPhone, I use Samsung, the best. And whatever. You know, sometimes we all need to be reminded of verses, of God, reminder to pray, reminder to walk with Him. Because we all tend to forget. So these tassels are there to help the people be reminded of God. Okay? You see, God is a God of details. He looks into all the details. A house that must have parapets. Don't mix linen with wool. Okay, don't mix seed, certain kind of seed with another kind of seed. Why? Because you will defile it. Have tassels, you know, details. Have something to remind you of God. See, God is a God of details. God is a God who cares. God is a God who wants us to look into the... God is a God who cares for animals. God is a God who cares for our neighbors. God cares. And so we should care too. We should reflect Him in all that we do. There was once we were having lunch at the food court at the Brick Talk headquarters. And there was this lady who was cleaning all the dishes, old lady, who came and cleaned the dishes and took the leftover plates and put it in the shelves. And pastor went to the drink store, bought the lady a cup of coffee, and gave it to her. And the lady was so happy having a cup of coffee. I thought that was really nice. And you know what? The next time I went, same lady, I went to buy a cup of coffee too. And this time the lady said, "Oh, the last time your father was here." I said, "No, he wasn't my father." Well, like a father, a spiritual father. But yeah, well, very good. You're a good son. But it was very cute. But I was very, very deeply moved by that. I was reading an interesting story on this Facebook thing. There was this man who was selling oyster. And he bought a packet of duck rice. A huge packet. And then here came a cleaner. And owner of this person who sells oyster, most probably oyster omelette, told him, "Hey, down there, there's food." And the cleaner went to the table, took out there were three drumsticks. He took out the three drumsticks, looked at the man, and the man said, "Go ahead, eat the drumsticks. Go ahead." With a smile on his face, go, take. And the cleaner took the three drumsticks and left. And this man, his name is Mr. Oyster, he took his dinner, whatever was left, he just ate it with the rice. That's it. Actually, I was quite moved by that. Would you give away your drumstick? Three drumsticks. Would you give away your three drumsticks? I was so deeply challenged by this. Would I give away my three drumsticks? I was deeply moved by this. And here's a man, a hawker. He may not even be a Christian. But, he went the extra mile for this cleaner. God wants us to care. God wants us to care for our neighbor. God wants us to go the extra mile, even for our neighbor. God even wants us to care for animals, for birds. Sometimes these birds will come into our fellowship hall or cafeteria, and then they will start flying inside. Don't know how to get out. And then you will try to, help the fellow. He keeps banging into the glass. You would always try to help. One day, there were these two blackbirds, magpies, I don't know what you call them. They walk in the church office. They walk, the corridor. They walk all the way to the lift. Dun, 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 dun. All the way to the lift. You see, what are these two fellows doing here? And then they started firing. So I flying round and round at the lift lobby on the third floor. So I went there. The more I came closer to them, the more they kept flying round and round and round. And they were stuck. So I went and tried to shoo the fellow. That way, point. And then one of them got the idea. The other one followed. And they flew out. Interesting, the fellows can walk all the way inside. Probably looking for food. And I really appreciate how God cares for animals, for birds even. And that's our challenge. Challenge to reflect His image. To care what He cares for. He cares about our caring. We should care about how He wants us to care. And our challenge is to go the extra mile, to care for people in whatever way we can. Okay? Any questions? No? Okay, well, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, this evening we thank you. We thank you that you are God who cares. Who cares about people, who cares about animals. We thank you that you are such a loving God. And we pray, dear Father, that you will help us to understand this and to reflect your image by learning to care too, to go the extra mile for others, for our neighbors, for those who are in need, to even care for animals whenever we need to. And we pray, dear Father, that we can reflect your light in all things that we seek to do for you. And we ask, dear Father, that you will give us a heart like yours. We pray, dear Lord, that you will be with us as we leave here. And we pray, dear Lord, that we will look forward to worshiping you this Sunday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you for being here. Good night and God bless.